Normally we begin with a prayer, and sometimes it feels like I'm the only one praying. So today you get to pray with me. I'm going to call out the Hebrew. You can repeat after me, and then we'll do the same with the English. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Asher kidshanu, b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu, la'asok, b'divrei, Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands, and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Amen. We're on a journey of faith, and the journey has some rough spots, isn't that true? And there can be times when we think it's just too much. But we know this, what we learn and what we experience during those rough spots actually prepare us for the destination of where God is trying to get us to. We learn to refine our own values and our principles. We develop faith during that time. Not abstract religious faith, but the concrete faith of trusting God when you need him. And through that trust, discovering the victories that are only possible through faith. And we have our character refined. We develop strengths that we would not develop otherwise. We develop endurance, perseverance. We develop hope in the midst of discouraging situations. We learn how to press on even when times are difficult and things are tough. And we do that as we're moving forward. It's one of the reasons why we don't shrink back, we don't turn back. It's because God is leading us forward. That's why one of the key words in our congregation is kadima. Say that with me, kadima. And it's not a mousy word like forward, please. It's a military word used in Israel. Kadima means charge. And the IDF pushes forward, kadima, during times of great difficulty. So we develop during these experiences, these challenging experiences, these times of affliction, these times even of mistreatment, that's when a lot of our character develops. Character that could not and would not develop during easier times. When we get to the destination, we will need all of those strengths, but we will have to apply them in different ways. And that's what this morning's Torah portion is all about. You have to get ready. You have to learn to trust God in different ways, but you still have to trust God. You trust God in one way on the journey. You may have to trust him a different way when you arrive where he's bringing you to. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy 26 and ask you to turn there, just three verses. It shall be when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Who's giving the land to you? The Lord. The Lord is. And you possess it and you dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground. Where does the produce come from? That's important to know, because I asked last night how many people in our congregation have had a garden in the last year or have raised food, and it was probably half a dozen. And there are a lot of people probably in the room right now who have never gardened, but let me see, how many of you have a garden and you're raising food? Raise your hand right now. Let's see, all of you, that's great. And you know, I ask people, where does food come from? And some people say, well, you go to Publix or Winn-Dixie or the farmer's market. And this scripture actually teaches us something that God expects everyone to know. Food comes from the ground. Produce requires hard work. You shall bring some of the first of the produce of the ground, and you shall bring it from your land. From whose land? Your land. You know what that means? Every you that's mentioned here has some land in Israel. All of those who this was written for and directed to had to do some farming. Very few of us are farmers. How many of you are actually part of professional farming? Okay, that's not anyone. How many of you have family who are professional farmers? A few more of us. You will bring from your land that the Lord is giving you, and you'll put it in a basket, and you'll go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. How did Israel trust God during those 40 years? How did they trust him for food? Manna, right? Mom, what's for lunch?
Manna.
Great. What shall we have for the birthday dinner? Manna. It takes a lot of trust to eat manna three times a day, every day. I actually think this is one of the reasons why Jewish people are obsessed with food now. Those 40 years of eating one thing every day, every meal, it's like it got to us. I need variety. I need something special. We trusted God for the manna when we were on the journey, but now Moses is saying, you need to trust God a different way. How? By working the land. You have to work the land. But we're not farmers. We're miracle eaters. We don't work for food. We just receive it. You see, sometimes the miracles of God's provision work one way at one period in your life, and they will work another way at another period, and you have to be prepared for the shift. This is speaking to Israel. Get prepared for the shift. You still have to trust God, do you see, in both periods, but you trust him differently. In one case, he provides the food miraculously. In another case, he uses you to work, to be effective, to do the hard and difficult work. We have to become responsible. You see, the provision changes, and provision comes to those who are faithful to work and to take care of the resources that have been given to them. And yet, the ultimate resource, in this case, the land, is still a gift. It's a gift from God, a miraculous gift that was undeserved but is given as a result of God's faithfulness. Verse 3. And you shall go to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I've come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give. You see, it becomes a time of celebration. One of the things we learn from this week's portion is that we're to be a celebrating community and a worshiping community that gives thanks to God for his faithfulness. That means we have to remember what has God promised, what has he called us to do, and then as we make it through the journey and we finally get to that place that we were working to get to, that we can stop and say, thank you, Lord. And we tell one another, we tell the spiritual leaders of our community, we tell God, thank you, you did it. I couldn't have done it myself, but you did it. And we worship him. We take time to give honor and to thanksgiving. Give thanksgiving to him. It can be that we grow cynical and we grow hard during the journey because of the rough spots. But we have to learn, as Kathy Turiano said, to have hard heads, but to also have tender hearts. We have to learn to be open and to remember the faithfulness of God. If you forget what God has done for you in times past, you will not recognize what God is doing presently, nor will you be prepared to enter into what he's bringing you into. It says, you shall go to the priest in those days and say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to our fathers to give to us. Now it goes on. We're just going to look at two more verses, Deuteronomy 26, verses 10 and 11. It says, then you take this first fruits. And I'm not here to talk to you about the first fruits offering. I'm here to talk to you about something else. The idea of a lifestyle of worship and devotion and thanksgiving to God. You shall set this offering before the Lord your God. Who do you present it to? The Lord. And you shall worship before the Lord your God. You see, this is a call to the Jewish people to see who are they supposed to be. We are called to be a worshipful people. You come and you set it before the Lord your God. Verse 11, and so you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you in your house. Every good thing. How many good things? Every good thing. What about only the big good things? No, every good thing. Small things, right? Tiny things. Anything that's good you rejoice in. And I tell you this, this is a call for a community to learn to rejoice. To rejoice not just in one's own individual accomplishments and breakthroughs, but in the breakthroughs that other people experience. And that's what we're doing today. We're celebrating not just individuals, we're celebrating our experience, our common experience, to encourage us. You shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. I like this. You and your house. This is a picture of something. We're not just independent individuals. We're families. We're people together. We're generations interconnected one with another. Whenever we just isolate and we see ourselves only as individuals, we miss something. Do you remember when God said to Adam, it's not good for man to be alone? And he brought to man all of the animals. He had an opportunity, you know, to look for a helpmate among the animals. Because honestly, guys can have fellowship with dogs. It's true. And cats and horses. And yet, an appropriate helpmate was not found among the animals. And then God made woman out of man. Now, think about this. God said it's not good for man to be alone, but man really wasn't alone. He did have all the animals, right? And not only that, he had God with him. And so you learn something. It's not just about God and you. It's God and you and others, which is why Yeshua said there are two great commands, not one, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbor. And that you cannot fulfill one without fulfilling the other. They are connected to each other. They depend on each other. To break them down and to only pay attention to one is to miss the big picture. In America, we're so independent. We have to be careful. It's not good for us to be alone. We have to see that families are important and generations are important. And you may think, oh, I'm getting older now. No one thinks I matter. Well, you do matter, so you have to make yourself matter. This happened with Moses. I was thinking about Moses. He's 20 years older than I am right now when God calls him to go to work for Israel. 80 years old. Anybody in the room 80? Almost. Do I hear 70? Who'll give me 60? I got 60. I got 60, 70, 70, 70. Go on. God called Moses when he was 80 years old and used him. I don't even know if I'll last that long. But you cannot receive lies about your usefulness. Be useful. Be useful to the generations that are ahead of you, that have gone before you, and be useful to your own generation, and be useful to the generations that follow you. And then it says, you and the Levites. Now, I'm a Levite. Okay, so you come to me. This is a picture that we need to be connected to the spiritual community and the spiritual leadership of the community. Don't try to go it alone. You can't. And then it says one more thing. You and the stranger. Now, what this doesn't mean is that there are strange people in a messianic congregation. Though there are. And it doesn't mean people who are stranger than you are. It means stranger in this sense. People who are foreign born. People who are not born of the Jewish people. And I want you to understand something. This is a prophetic picture about Israel, that Israel will only find its natural fulfillment when it recognizes that God has an interest in the whole world and not just the Jewish people. This is a burning issue in the Jewish world, because there are some among our people who want to be isolated and who see the nations of the world as a threat rather than a subject of God's love. The Brit Hadashah says it very clearly, for God so loved the world, not just the Jewish people in the world, but the whole world, that he gave his only son. He loved the whole world. And so this is powerful and important. It's a prophetic picture also that speaks to the Messianic movement and to many of us today. And it guides us forward that we have to have a love and devotion for our people and for the nations of the world. This is the plan of God. To enter into it will require diligence. It will require discipline. And it will require, above everything else, love towards one another. And you develop this love not in a moment of gushiness, but you develop it over the years as you make intentional commitment to seek the good of others and to show love for them and to rejoice in their victories and to weep and cry with them during their times of difficulty and defeat. And love is much more than an emotion. It's a way of living. So these are powerful and prophetic pictures. I'm going to end now because I've gone way too long. When I say short, I mean short for me. And you know that. The Haftorah says, arise and shine and recognize that your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, but you won't understand that unless you read not just Isaiah 60, verse 1, but Isaiah 59, the last few verses, where God promises to pour out the Holy Spirit. Your light comes from the Holy Spirit in you. And that's what I want to end with. I want to end with a prayer for you, for the Holy Spirit to fall upon you, for you to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. If you want to be more like God, have more fellowship with the Holy Spirit and with those who do. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. We thank you for the breakthroughs that you give to us that we could never give to ourselves. We thank you that you're full of love, that you're a covenant and faithful God to us. And we want to live as people of faith, and we want to live as faithful people. And so we thank you, Lord. We rejoice with you. We thank you for the generations that you have allowed us to be a part of. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And also a word of celebration. Brenda Miller told me this. We've been praying for her brother-in-law, John. For some time, he's been in and out of the hospital facing some very difficult medical issues. And it was really on my heart that he would be out before September 11th in order to celebrate, to be with his wife on his 60th anniversary. And here's the good news. He was out of the hospital on the 10th. Isn't that right? We rejoice with you, Brenda, and with your family. I sure do. In our in-town family. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'yichnecha. Yisar Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his shalom in the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Amen.